Welcome to episode 4 of Jesus, Joy, and Just a Little Chaos. Today we are talking about something every parent wrestles with. How do we find joy in the middle of the mess? Jen?
So I think that in the middle of the chaos, it's really hard to stop and look at the little moments and find the little wins when most of the time the days are just so full of small battles. I think that's something I struggle with.
I also struggle with small things as well.
So I think maybe we should start off by talking about the difference between happiness and joy. So what do you find affects your happiness?
In all honesty, much doesn't affect my overall happiness. I just get frustrated.
So I think that might be a fundamental difference maybe then between men and women, because I feel like my happiness, quote unquote, can be affected by many things. The moods of others around me, our financial situation, whether our schedule is really demanding or not. I think happiness is more of a subjective concept. How would you define the difference between happiness and joy from your perspective?
I guess I would say happiness is like when you get a present or get to go do something, and joy is the feeling you get just from watching someone else be happy. And I guess it's just being thankful for what you have and being joyful through Christ that has given us the opportunity to have joy and not feel like every little thing is being judged and we have to make immense sacrifices.
That's a really good point. For those who may not know, you had a pretty scary health event that happened over the last week. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that and talk about how maybe that might have shifted some perspective about moments of joy, if it did.
Well, I know this is a little bit different, but one thing that I would like to share is a verse that I found. So just to clarify why I'm sharing this verse, is I was having some fairly decent chest pain, and I called the nurse advice line. They said I should go. And on my way to the hospital, I'm saying in my head and praying, God, you know, I'm sorry for all my sins, and if you're taking me, please forgive me for everything. And it kind of hit me, you know, man, I'm just praying more and asking forgiveness more when something is really wrong. So before I go into what was actually going on, I'm going to read this verse that I found that kind of God was like, hey, go through your Bible app, stop scrolling Facebook. So I did. And this is what I found. It's Elijah 26, verses 16 through 18. O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them. Like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pains when she is near to giving birth, so were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed, but we have given birth to the wind. We have accomplished no deliverance in earth, and the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. So, to me, that was, you know, I was in distress and seeking the Lord just in distress. Now, I have been seeking the Lord more, but I know I'm not doing as much as I should. And that really spoke to me.
I have to say that I think you've been really diligent about seeking the Lord, but I can understand always feeling like there's more to do, and that's a really touching verse, and I think that I could stand to learn from that. Thank you for sharing that. Just for me personally.
No problem. So what they wound up finding was that my troponins were elevated, which is a
cardiac enzyme.
There we go. Yeah. It would have took me a minute. So that shows that there's been stress in the heart, and I believe it shows that there's been like tissue something. What is it?
Basically, a troponin level is a cardiac enzyme that indicates that there, when that is elevated, it indicates that there's been some degree of damage to the heart muscle.
So it was elevated, but not super elevated, but it was still concerning. So come to find out, they admitted me, and I had had a mild, or would you say mild or mini heart attack?
It's called an NSTEMI, and basically it is a heart attack, but they essentially said that you were having coronary artery spasms. So your coronary artery was closing off temporarily, blocking blood flow from your heart, which is effectually a heart attack. But right. It was reopening on its own, whereas a more traditional heart attack or a STEMI is because there's a blockage, usually a plaque buildup on the wall of the artery that needs to be dealt with. But praise God, you didn't have any blockages when they did further testing. So that was good.
Yeah, and then I started having chest pains a few days later.
The next day?
No, that was 2 days after.
The day after you were discharged. Monday was your heart attack. Tuesday you came home. I believe, yeah, it was Wednesday that you started having chest pain again, I think. It's all kind of a blur. It was Wednesday or Thursday.
I think it was Thursday because I was there Thursday, Friday, and I got out Saturday.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
So
just to be clear, you were admitted two separate times.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of listeners.
So my troponins were elevated again, but I had a heart cath. That was what they did to check my arteries in my heart. So I was having really bad chest pain again, and my troponins were elevated even more, but they were like, oh, well, we don't know if it's just from the cath, and then they were like, no, it's continuing to go up, so you are having more spasms in your chest. So they wound up giving me a medication, and, you know, they were worried because I've had some bloating, and they were like, oh, we're going to have to keep you longer, because we have to have GI check you. And I was going to have to be there all holiday weekend. And I was not happy about that. I was like, well, okay, guess I'm here. And
can I interject just a little chaos moment, since our whole life and podcast is chaos?
Yeah.
How about when they put you on a nothing-by-mouth diet and posted it on your door or whatever they did, and you were told you couldn't eat because you were having tests, and then someone forgot to lift that restriction, so you went, what, like 10, 12 hours, no food, no water, for no real reason, I believe.
Yeah, and no saline to, like, keep me hydrated.
Yeah, no IV.
I went from, well, I guess, because I hadn't drank from the night before, so I went from 11 p.m. to,
I think it was like 4 o'clock in the
afternoon. 4 p.m.
The next day, yeah.
So I went a while without having anything to drink or eat, but, you know.
You weren't the happiest camper, I can tell you that.
I wasn't, but, you know, also what I just came into my mind is thinking about fasting. You know, God wanted me to fast, I guess.
Amen. That's a positive spin on a chaotic moment, for sure.
So, I did get out. I have medication for it. I'm going to have to do some more tests, so we'll let you know more on that. But I guess now the more I think about it is happiness is getting to leave the the hospital joy is knowing that I get to spend more time with my family.
Oh, that's really sweet. We might have been the source of your heart attack, but it's sweet that you feel that way.
You know, I'm not going to say anything.
Well, and I really want to speak out about what an incredible partner you are, because you weren't home from the hospital 10 minutes when you had to turn around and take me to the emergency room.
Yeah, I was not so nice about it either, but I still took you.
You did, yeah. The absolute fear, and this is where I would say I fail as a disciple of Christ. I was paralyzed with fear the entire time you were in the hospital, to the point that I worked myself into a panic attack, and I couldn't control it. By the time you got home, it was, I would say, a severe attack. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, what concerned me was that your pulse rate was really high and your blood pressure was really high. So I was like, okay. Even though I'm like not saying okay nicely, I will admit I was like yelling and like, "Urgh." I'm not gonna like say exactly what I was saying, but I was like, whatever, I'll take you to the hospital. Let's go. Get in the freaking car. So, and I made sure, if you remember, which I know it's kind of foggy for you, but I made sure you had your book that you just got and your planner if you needed it, and, you know, other things I made sure was in your purse. So even though I was upset, I still made sure that you had the stuff that you needed to have.
I'll be honest enough to tell you, I don't actually remember any of that, but I really appreciate it, and I think that's really thoughtful, and it goes to show that even in your moments of anger or frustration with me, your concern is always, or your instinct, should I say, or knee-jerk reaction is to think of me, which is really touching, and I really appreciate you for that, and I really appreciate you for being there with me, because I'm absolutely certain that was the last place on earth you would have wanted to be.
I hadn't even cut off my wristband from the hospital yet, and we had the same doctor that admitted me, and he looked at me like, "What are you doing here?" I'm like, "I'm here for her, not me this time."
I have to say that doctor was very nice, though.
Oh, he's great. I really liked him.
Yeah, he was very understanding and didn't minimize what I was going through, which I really appreciated, because some people could have maybe rolled their eyes and made me feel very silly. I have to shout out that doctor. Whoever he was really a phenomenal provider, and I would say you were lucky to have had him yourself.
Yeah. So, that was a thing we had to go through.
Yeah, that was a challenge we walked through, certainly. But I feel like you particularly, I think we both can use this opportunity for some testimony, and you're pretty prolific about your testimony, so I think maybe you should kind of go first, but you had a real deep-seated desire to spend time with the children when you got home, it seemed. I believe it was like 6 a.m. You were up the next morning trying to take the kids on this awesome, like, beach woods adventure, and I think there was definitely some sort of renewal in your spirit. You want to speak on that a little bit?
Well, when I got home the first time, I was like, I need to get in shape and start doing some walking. So, the first day I got back, it was 2 days. Because the first day I got back, Andrew and I got up in the morning. Oops.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, he and I went on a walk. He wanted to do, like, some pokey hunting. For us, I don't see anything wrong with it. as of yet. If God speaks to me and says, hey, this is not right, I will cut it out. But that's just our opinion as of right now. I know that can be conflicting, but...
Oh, you're speaking to, like, the possible, like, demonic undertone of Pokemon and how there's some kind of hot controversy surrounding that.
Yeah, so I have prayed about it, and I'm still waiting for God to say, hey, that has to be cut out. So when I feel he has said that to me, then it will happen.
Yeah, I think as parents, we're not overly convicted about that. I know you have a conviction about Roblox, but than that, like, as far as Pokemon, I don't think either one of us are very convicted one way or the other.
Yeah, I would agree. So, anyway, got a little off topic there. So, we went for a walk, and we actually wound up stopping at, there's like a little feed and grain store, kind of, and you can get like dog food there and all sorts of stuff there. So, we stopped in there and walked back because I had this little app. It's called Footpath, and it's free for Android, and you can make a line of where you're going and do a loop, and it'll tell you how far the distance is. So I did that because it was a mile. So I went and did a mile with him. We went in there, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'll come back with Lena because I want to get some treats for the dogs and get like a honey stick for my honey.
My favorite. It was so sweet.
So then Lena and I went later and got the treats and stuff and did that walk. So that was 2 miles I did that day. And then the next morning I just went out myself, and I think it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
It was. It might have actually been closer to 5:30. You were up and going early
that day. You know, I was up. I got up at like, I think, 4 or 3. Something.
It was
3. Oh, yeah. I got up at 3 and just couldn't fall back asleep because I went to bed so early, and I've been using my CPAP like I should. So I took the dogs out at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I waited because I was seeing if you wanted to go to the do a beach walk.
Yes, you woke me up at 4 a.m., yeah.
And then I woke you up at 5 and 5:30 and then 6. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to go walk. So I went and took that walk. Sort of started getting a little chest heavy and out of breath, but I also had to use the bathroom, so I had to walk a little faster.
Oh, gosh.
So that happened, then wound up being back in the hospital, but I'm trying to make bold efforts and steps towards getting healthier. So when I got back home the next time, I took the kids to a local state park, and we went and walked the beach. We went up these like rocks and kind of did some late rock climbing.
Can I interrupt for 1 second because you forgot a really joyful moment in your feed store trip?
Oh, yeah. Both of the kids loved the cat that was there. Is that what you're talking about?
And what did you and our 13-year-old find on the side of the road? It was so cool.
Yeah. So in the ditch, someone must have thrown a pumpkin in the ditch, and it's the seeds started growing. We found a probably 5 or 6 inch pumpkin.
Yeah, it was a pretty good size little thing.
And he still has it in his room.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was actually kind of cool too. And I also, when I take them on walks, I know quite a bit about the outdoors and things that are edible and just things to look at and know. So, you know, we were looking at the ditch and stuff, and I was like, Andrew, look at that. And he's like, it's a pumpkin. I was like, because I knew the leaves. I know a lot of different plants by their leaves. So we were looking at that, and one thing I told him, I said, not out of this ditch, because it's not the greatest area, but you can actually take the roots of a cattail, which usually grow in ditches. I wouldn't, again, would not recommend any ditch cattails. If you find them out in like a pond or swamp area that's far away, maybe then. But the roots of them can be used like potatoes. They're like starchy. So I was telling him about that, and I think that's when we found it. So back to the beach, we did our little light rock climbing, you'd say, and then went, it's right off the Lake Erie, and then we went down like the pier walk, and there was people fishing, and they got to see some fish that people caught, and we went all the way down, went all the way back, and that was like a mile and a half walk. So I've been doing at least a mile a day. I woke up at, I think, like 6:30, 6:40 this morning, and got to walking at 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, you've definitely been making, like you said, bold changes, but also I think you are definitely the joy maker in the family. Like, you are so skilled at creating tiny moments, even if we're in a parking lot at speech therapy, if you remember. You will take kids and see a bookstore a mile away, and if I'm sitting in speech therapy with a kiddo, you'll take the restless ones and go.
Well, it wasn't a mile away, but I know what you're saying. Just so people know, I didn't go walk a mile while she's at speech therapy, but.
But, I mean, you find a happy moment in any situation, which I think is a really, it's a God-given skill that you have. You can turn just about anything into an adventure for the kids.
I'm an adventurer at heart. I've always adventured. That's why I've been around the country. I've been to another country. It's just one of those things that, you know, I've been in different woodsy areas. You know, it's, there's a, I guess, a sense of thrill, but also I feel God more when I am out in nature, because you just hear all of His creations.
Amen.
And you're just closer to Him. That's why I've tried to tell you, like, you're like, why do you like being in the woods and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, why don't you come with me? And I think when you do start taking some walks with me, you'll see some of the reasons why it's just so nice. The kids love it. All of them. Even our oldest son, Ethan, likes it. Because it gets your mind off stuff. If you put your phone away and just walk. Now, we do take our phones out to take pictures. But every one of the kids love it. And it's not we go out for hours and hours and hours. I like to find short little things for them to do first. And then we can gradually work on doing longer stuff. You know, once I get healthier again, I would like to start taking some longer hikes with the kids. And, you know, maybe some backpack hiking, camping. But at this age, I don't know if I want to sleep on the ground like that. So maybe
get back up.
Yeah. So maybe find a good camping ground to go do some hikes and come back and camp. Maybe glamp with my wife and let the kids go in the tent at this point, because I've lived in the woods before, so I know what it's like.
I don't experience the woods the same way you do, but I think even you can agree the water, any kind of rolling waves is where I feel closest to God. I stare at the horizon, at the expanse that I'm in. Constant awe. My happy place is toes in the sand and rolling water in front of me.
Well, also, you like running water. And that's why I feel if you start coming with me to certain places, like Helenberg Park, that little island, you can go there and walk to the tip of it and you're right on the river.
Yeah, I think this is just proof positive I was supposed to be a mermaid.
So.
But kind of getting back on track, I think that I get caught up in the day-to-day shuffle. I almost feel like I can't feel happy unless my to-do list is checked off, which lately it's just been getting longer and longer and nothing's getting checked off. You are very skilled at finding joy anywhere, all the time, anytime. There's no restriction for you.
Yeah, and a scripture that that goes along with this is John 15, verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So with Jesus and the Lord and the Holy Spirit, that's our joy, and that's how we find that joy. It's not me that's finding that joy for everyone. It's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, move, go do, you know?
Amen. Amen. What do you think we could do to prioritize joy in our home, in our family, in our relationship?
You're not going to like my answer.
Oh boy. Bring it on.
We go on family walks at least once a week. I could narrow it down to once a week as a family, but at least once a week.
I think. So one thing I think we could do better at is practicing more gratitude. I think that's another way that we could cultivate joy. I think sometimes we forget to be grateful and get caught up in maybe being angry about something silly or having a ridiculous, you know, argument over God knows what. But I think that practicing gratitude is another way that you can cultivate more joy as well. And I think we could stand to study a little more on trial and tribulation and proper Christian response to that. Jesus Christ faced a whole lot of trial and tribulation, and he promised that there would be trial and tribulation. And I think all of us in our family, kids included, we aren't the best at reacting well to trial and tribulation. What are your thoughts on that?
Are you just trying to call me out here or what? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm just as guilty as you are. I think it's somewhere we could stand to grow in our faith, for sure.
Well, also one thing that you know with me drives me up a wall, because I've gone without a lot of things, and one of those things is food.
And wasting. Yeah. Food waste.
Just eating snacks. It's like, be grateful for what you have. If there's a meal that you don't like that much, eat a little bit and go on your way. You know, that's one thing that I'm trying to teach the children, and I don't know if you realize this. I'm not trying to force them, but I'm trying to say, hey, you need to eat this or eat some of it, because if we take them to another country, they're going to see that as rude.
That's true.
You know, you at least try it, and if you're like, oh, you know, I didn't like it the best, but you ate some of it and tried to eat as much as you can, 9 times out of 10, if it's going to actually make you physically ill, okay. But a lot of the times the kids play on your mom's strings.
They do. Yeah, they're puppeteers. I'm the puppet. They're the puppet masters, should I say. Certainly they're good at that.
You're getting a lot better about it, though. I am going to say, especially with the 12-year-old today, because I was about to lose it. But you took care of it.
Yeah, that was definitely quite a showing today. We are facing the back to school blues, as we might call it, since we're going back to school tomorrow, and our soon to be teenager was really putting on quite a theatrical performance today, I would say, already presuming illness and all of these things. And I think this kind of leads us into another coping skill, which is finding humor in it. Because to me, I found it utterly humorous that he was already claiming illness, and this year he's a virtual student, so...
There is no more sick days unless you are so sick that you can't get out of bed.
I mean, to me, if you can hold your head up, you can do virtual school, so...
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I told him. I was like, if you want to do virtual school, guess what? There is no more snow days. So when your sister's home for a snow day, you still have to do school.
Yes, yeah. So it was, I would say he could have been an Academy Award winner. It was really...
No. It was horrible. It was like he was trying to cry, but it sounded like he was laughing. And it was...
And gagging at the same time. It was... That's an excellent, excellent depiction of, yeah. And yet, no tears in the eyes. And then, wasn't I told that I didn't even care enough to take my sick child to the hospital? I think that
was... Oh, yeah, he was saying that while you were talking to my grandmother. I'm like, back in the day, you would have got smacked for that.
Spare the rod, spoil the child. That was a tough one.
And this is also finding the humor in it as well. Because to us it's funny, but for him right now it's not. Because, what did you tell him?
I forgot which specific part. You'll have to remind me.
If he plays the drama like that.
The boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. And if it happens again, he's having a consequence for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also told him that I felt it was really disrespectful. And also, it's in poor taste. And they're children, and they behave of the flesh, certainly. But that was terrible, let's be honest.
So, we have a outline that we go by, and one of the things I see in here, it's crazy because it was something I actually did today. Jen and I had a bit of an argument. We were having issues with the sound, and just it was driving me insane. So I turned on, I turned worship on during having my little meltdown, and also when we went to go to the beach, we actually prayed. Well, I prayed, and bowed their heads, and they said amen. So,
and the broader concept of that is inviting God into the middle, which, you know, I'm working on, too. When you were sick yesterday, I was like, I think that's the most I've ever prayed in my life. You were so sick from your medication. And
oh my gosh, worst headache I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, to the point it made you physically ill. Yeah. And all I could do, I don't know if you remember, but I just laid hands on you and prayed and prayed and prayed, because watching you like that was terrible. And I think it is a practice we need to get better at. In every situation, God should be in the middle of it. I know for me, I'm not always flawless at that.
So, in trying to reframe a struggle, something I actually did today when I went to go get some stuff for the house, I was still upset. And, you know, I said, you know what? God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you it and just kind of let go. Because I get in a mood, and I was still in a mood when I came home. But I did what I was doing, and, you know, I wasn't rude. You know, if Jen brought something up, I chatted. But besides that, I kind of kept to myself. And she said, hey, are you ready to do the podcast, or do you want to do the podcast? I said, yep, we can do it. And, you know, I gave it to God, and it's turning into a very beautiful podcast, actually. A good episode, in my opinion, because it really opens your eyes when you talk through things and talk about things. And really try to see it through what God is trying to show you. And that's one of the things is, instead of saying, why me, what is God trying to show me here? You know, and I kind of, you know, I am getting slightly more of a headache right now. It's not too bad, but I think also some of the headache yesterday was because I was sitting. I was sitting on the couch, and I was upset because the kids aren't doing the dishes like they're supposed to, and, you know, things are kind of falling apart, you know, in our chaos of a house. And too bad, you know, oh man, turns out this is my circus and they are my monkeys kind of thing. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to do it. Well, guess what? This is where God placed you, or, well, placed me, and you are going to deal with it. And there is no, it's not like there's no escape, but there is no turning back. God put you here. This is what you need to be doing. Get over it. Stop being a baby. Pretty much. You know, God can be direct. God is a loving God, but God can also be direct. And he said, you go do dishes. Get some of them done. Then you set the example. Then you can go have Amen. Your daughter go do them.
Amen. Yeah, I think setting an example is really important. And it's very easy to be a hypocrite as a parent, right?
Yeah. Do as I say, not as I do. Which, if you are from, like, Jen's age, in the 40s to my age in the 30s, maybe, you know, late 20s, you heard that as a kid growing up, for sure.
All the time, yeah.
My dad still says that to me. I'm sure you've heard him probably say that.
I have. Yeah, and I think both of us have great families, but, I mean, I came from a family where you didn't ask questions. You did as you were told, when you were told to do it, and it didn't matter if your parents were setting a good example for you or not. I remember one time being very young. I'm sure you've experienced this just knowing your dad. but I remember one time being in a grocery store and, like all kids do, asking for, I don't know, Fruit Loops or whatever it is that I wanted. And my mom said no. And I said, why? Don't you have any money? And, oh,
my Man, that's goodness. Where Andrew gets it from. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. I was swiftly told that my parents' finances are none of my business. And I can just close my mouth and move on with my day. And I'm sure you've experienced that kind of thing, too. There wasn't openness when we were growing up. Did you experience that too? It wasn't really like open conversation about big subjects. It was, I told you to do it, sit down, close your mouth and do it.
Yeah, pretty much. Or for me, and this is something that I struggle with because somewhat I can understand it, is if, you know, a parent said, okay, if you're good, you know, at the end, you will get this. And if you asked too many times, you didn't get it. Or if you had it, and you went off the rails, it was gone. So, I have started to learn that you can still do that, but in a kind way. Because I have done that with our son, our 12-year-old. We went to the grocery store, and at the end, I said, okay, get a drink for your brother and your sister that's at home, and then you too can get yourselves a drink. And our 12-year-old knows what his sister likes. She will only drink Pepsi or water.
This is our nonverbal kiddo, to be clear. Yeah,
Bella.
She's very, very, very particular.
So, he, after I had paid for everything and didn't notice, he had got her a Gatorade. And once I got it, and I was looking at it, I said, who's this for? And he was like, Bella. And I'm like, when have you ever seen Bella drink Gatorade at all? Well, the sky was falling, and I didn't know, and I wasn't thinking, and I saw her eat Gatorade powder once, and I said, oh, okay, you saw her eat Gatorade powder? How many other powders have you seen her eat? She's eaten Jell-O pudding. She's even eaten
instant mashed potato flakes. Any sort of starchy or powdery substance. Yeah, that's
good. Andrew, quickly. Huh? Quickly, go.
He already went.
Just go to the bathroom central? Okay. You were saying, you know, go to the instant mashed potatoes.
Say that again?
Yeah, okay. Kind of just go through that diatribe real quick so that way when I come back I can...
Okay, now? Instant mashed potato flakes, any sort of powdery substance, she either tries to eat it or uses it as a texture for... her paint projects. So,
and one big example of that as well is she has eaten lemonade powder, but she does not drink lemonade. So I said both of those to him. So I said, okay, since you didn't take the time to think and you know your sister, you are going to drink that Gatorade and she is going to have the Pepsi that you got for yourself. That, in my opinion, is a lesson to be learned. It is not being mean. It is not being cruel. It is, you need to pay attention. Yes, you have ADHD. So do I. We still have to hold ourselves accountable and stuff like that. It is, wouldn't you say?
I think it's a lesson in paying attention, but it's also a lesson in, if you're not sure about something, ask. Ask the question, hey, Dad, I don't really notice what Bella drinks very often. What would she like? Instead of just making a haphazard assumption and getting the wrong thing.
Say that again.
Haphazard assessment and...
Go ahead, say it again.
Haphazard assessment and getting the wrong thing. So I think you kind of showcased a multitude of lessons there.
Yeah, and this time, you know, I felt like, oh, you agreed with me. What did I do different? Well, I explained it. I explained it, and I didn't do it in a mean way.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things. I do things a little bit differently. Jen is coming along with things because you also have to think... Those of you that are single mothers or have been single mothers, you will understand this. Sometimes you're just like, I just need to get through. I'm not... You pick and choose your battles.
Survival mode.
Yeah. So now that I'm around, it's different because you have someone to help back up and go, nope, that's not happening. And I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a give and take kind of thing. And we've really...
Okay, I have to just stop us there for a minute because, again, total chaos. We threatened our children within an inch of their electronics that they needed to be quiet so that we could record. And we have the baby asleep, and we finally have a quiet moment without somebody yelling at the other one or the baby screaming or something in the background. And our 13-year-old son, and this is kind of tying back to finding humor and trying to find joy in the little things, literally creaked his bedroom door open so slowly it made the most horrific, and you probably just heard that slaving in the background as well just now, but we're not re-recording that part. It's life. But this child, when I tell you, opened the creaking door so slowly that it was like an endless
It's like, dude, you might as well just slam it.
It would have been much faster if the door had just been slammed. And, you know, when I say I saw smoke blowing out of Zach's ears just now, guys, you don't even know.
I was like, oh my goodness. So.
So would you say that kind of leads us into our next kind of portion of what we're talking about?
When joy feels hard. Yeah, it's real hard to have joy when your kid's just, it's like, ooh.
It was very much like nails on a chalkboard, wasn't it?
God, give me the grace. Give me grace right now. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, they're being quiet, so let's get this done. No, just kidding. We're actually, this is a longer episode today, guys. And hopefully you're still with us. And I think it's kind of entertaining, so I don't think anybody's fallen asleep yet.
Hopefully not. I mean, Lord knows we aren't.
Hold on, ready? Wake up! No, just kidding.
I don't think we're that boring.
You know, it is not always easy or natural to find joy in things. And that's something that actually I have read a lot of different things. And one of the things that I take a little bit from is Stoicism. And Stoicism kind of teaches you to be thankful for what you have and understand that everything can be taken away from you at any time. So,
don't kill me. I'm sorry. I bumped my microphone. Don't kill me. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, with that being said, I sometimes will take a very cold shower just to, I guess, give myself joy or remind myself that I am blessed to have hot water. That it is not just a given to have these things. If you were in the woods, if you go to take a bath in the river, it's freezing cold. If you have ever taken a shower or anything like that in anywhere that's not down in like the Bahamas where they have waterfalls, it is cold. It is cold to take a shower. So being thankful for that and finding the joy that we're able to have that and provide that for our kids. Because not everyone has that. And there's plenty of countries, even our country, guys, like, that is a gift. Because if your hot water goes out, you're going to have cold showers. Some people will wait, but how long are you going to wait if it goes out and you can't afford to replace that water heater? So that's why, and Stoicism, it teaches you to practice that. And also, what I feel it goes along with Christianity is that all these material things that we have, none of it's coming with us. It's going to be gone one day. And as a firefighter, I know that if a fire happens, almost everything's going to be gone. There is not much recovering of anything. Everything can be gone in an instant. Just think about when accidents happen, or like when I went to the hospital, or if someone has a heart attack or anything. Mm-hmm. It is instantaneous. It can all be gone very quickly. So, it's not easy or natural, but I guess the reason why I'm bringing up Stoicism is to try and practice it. Practice being thankful for the things that you have. And maybe try and go without something for a few days or a week. And that's kind of like, you know what? It's fasting. It's like fasting.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Because you can fast from different things, like your telephone, you know? To a certain degree, you can go, okay, unless it is an important call, I'm not going to touch my phone. Or I'm not going to use any electronics unless it is an absolute have to.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, that's, I guess, what I feel. Is there something that you would like to share to that, or?
So, kind of piggybacking off of that, I would say just sharing a personal story. First of all, I'd like to say that I think the idea of fasting from anything negative in your life is that's only going to draw you closer to God. I think you're absolutely right. The principles of Stoicism, I need to read your book on that to understand that. I don't want to speak on something I don't have a whole lot of.
And also, real quick, I've read a few books on it.
Yeah,
and there's a few Stoic, like, philosophers.
Yeah, and I definitely like, you know, when we're done with this podcast, if you talk with me a little bit more about that over lunch, and we can kind of, you know, delve into that a little bit. But one thing that I want to share personally is a health struggle that I've been going through, and I have some testimony in there, and I also can kind of relate it to what we're talking about difficulty finding joy. I have an autoimmune disease. I may or may not have mentioned that before. I have an autoimmune thyroid disease.
Actually, yeah, you did. You talked about how high it was. Just letting you know, because we're like, okay, we're on episode 4 now, even though that's not that far, you know.
It's a lot of content and a lot of things we've talked about. And, you know, if I talked about it before, 3 weeks ago, my levels were astronomically high. And, It was a miracle I wasn't hospitalized, or possibly even in a thyroid-induced coma, or dead.
Yeah,
It was very, very serious, and that takes generally at least 8 to 10 weeks for the medication to get in your system and start working. And, you know, my faith in God never wavers. But the other night when I had to go to the emergency room, I have a lot of medical fear. I traumatically lost a member of my family years ago due to medical negligence, and that has a lot to do with my generalized anxiety disorder.
Can I say something real quick just to kind of put it in perspective? I won't say what family member or whatnot, but that family member had problems with their heart, and it was a heart issue that had happened, and I was having heart issues, so that's what kind of played into this, just to give a little bit of background to it. So go ahead, baby.
Yeah. And so anyway, when I got to the hospital, I am terrified of blood work, which God says fear not, but God's still working on me, so I am always afraid to have my blood drawn. I'm afraid that the results are going to reveal some life-altering...
Yeah, sorry. So one thing to put into that is this is a testament of in God's timing, because I get on her about that, or she gets on me about things. I have been getting on her about that. I'm like, just get it done. Just trust in the Lord. Also, when she's having a panic attack, I'm like, do this, do that. But you know what? I'm not God. So I have to just plant that seed and step away. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely. But when I went to the ER, I was so beside myself that at that point, I just wanted help. I was crying out to God. I was crying out to the doctors. I just needed help. And long story short, they took my blood. And just to testify to God's incredible grace, my blood work was all normal. Like, every fear I've ever had about, you know, I could have this disease or this or that, and it'll be revealed in my blood work. Every blood count, every level was perfectly normal, including my thyroid, which
was awesome. When I heard that, I was like, really? But I know you have been taking your meds like you're supposed to, so...
I have been taking my medication without fail, which is something I was not good at before. But even Zach will tell you, the doctor said I was looking at a very long recovery period. I was 10 times the critical limit.
I would say that was God. It wasn't just, God was putting on your heart to do what you're supposed to, but God brought it down. He's like, 100%. Here, look, trust in me, I will take care of it. Because 100%. That's God. Most people, it takes a while. God was, I think, just like we were talking about, you know, trying to see what God is showing you.
Yeah, 100%.
God was showing you.
Yeah, he was. Trust in me. I feel he was rewarding my obedience for sure. But I say all that to say that I still have residual muscle problems, and I'm having still some dizziness and some effects still remaining of my thyroid being that dangerously out of whack. And so at times it can be a little difficult for me to focus on the joy because I get stuck in this, well, I'm still not physically able to do too much and the levels are normal. And I have to say that, honey, you've been a great encouragement to me today to stay the course and stay steadfast and be joyful and grateful for where I'm at. I could have been in a much worse situation, and the rest of this is going to take time. It's going to take time for my body to heal from such a transition. That was a lot, and I need to continue to find joy while I can and continue to rest, heal, and recover. And impatience is basically doubting God. So thank you for that.
I think that's why God keeps putting on my heart, get your wife to go on a walk with you. Go somewhere that's comfortable for her. So that's why I'm like, let's go to the beach. Let's go walk on the beach. Let's do it. Let's do it. It's not just me, love. It's God saying, take her. Take her and tell her to trust in me. You know, and just go a little bit. And if we get there and we walk 2 minutes, we get just down to the water and we got to go home, okay. But you walk down to the water. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. A little more.
Just don't touch her. Hold on. Are we recording? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I totally see what you're saying there, and I really appreciate your encouragement.
So, you know, joy isn't denial of pain. We have pain. Jen's having a little bit of pain right now. But choosing to have hope with the pain, knowing that God is going to take care of it, and he will heal us in the ways that we need to, and when it's time for him to take us home, it's time for him to take us home. And we won't have to worry about these pains anymore. You know? Amen. So, a scripture that goes with this is Nehemiah?
Am I saying Nehemiah. That? Nehemiah.
Nehemiah.
Uh-oh, we have company.
So, Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the world... The joy of the Lord is your strength. So that kind of... Don't turn on the TV yet. Okay. Let me make sure we're rolling here. Where's my mouse? Okay. So that really speaks volumes. So let's just go over a few things as we bring this podcast to a close. It's been a long one. Joy is chosen, cultivated, and rooted in Christ. Let that sink in. I'm going to say it one more time because I think it needs to be said again. And I'm going to try and say it not too slow, but joy is chosen, cultivated, and rooted in Christ.
Amen. I need that printed on the refrigerator.
We can do it. Why not? You know, let's do that. And I encourage you to find one thing today that sparks joy.
What's your thing that sparks joy today?
That I already have dinner planned.
Ooh, what are you making for dinner?
So it's almost like raviolis, but it's manicotti. And it's like these, like, it's almost like a big rigatoni. And it's got the cheese filling. And you put a little sauce on the bottom, and then you put it in there. And you put sauce on top, and you put it in the oven for like a half hour.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be delicious. And I think that will probably be after we have a little walk, because I'm going to try and encourage you again. But we'll see.
As long as this horrifying spasm in my back stops, I would love to do that. And I think my spark moment, or spark joy moment, oh my goodness, I can't talk today, I think is going to be... I think we should have a little childlike fun. What do you think about a checkers and guess who at home date night tonight? How do you feel about that?
That sounds like fun. I think we could do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't... You know what? I'm feeling it, but I kind of want to ask you to do it this time, babe. You cannot touch the bottom of it. Sorry. You can move it like this. Don't touch that. I think I'm going to ask you to do it, because I usually do it, and it's on my heart to do it right now.
I want you to do it. What? If it's on your heart, do it.
No. I think you're going to say it better this time.
Pray?
No. Not prayer. I will close this in prayer.
Oh.
Encouraging if someone wants to come to Christ or...
Oh.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So go ahead. I'll cut all this talking out.
Okay. So, guys, if any of you are looking to develop a relationship with God, if you don't know Him and you want to, or you have known Him and you've backslidden, Lord knows I've been in this position.
Me too.
We know the right people. We know who to get you in contact with. We have the most fantastic team of pastors and prayer warriors.
And we're willing to pray with you as well.
Yeah. So even if it's just prayer, if you have prayer requests, you can send them to our social, to our email, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We're happy to reach out and pray with you if you need prayer for anything in your life. We are happy to get you in touch with people if you are looking to give your life to Christ. I promise you it's the best decision you'll ever make.
Amen.
Please don't ever feel discouraged because you feel like you might not be in the position to accept Jesus Christ. All fall short of the glory. And hopefully by now, the first thing that we hope our audience has learned about us is that we fall pretty short. We are...
All fall short to the glory of God.
All fall short. We're no exception to that. We're not judgmental. Please know that if there's any way that we can support you in your parenting journey, in your journey with God, if you need connection to a pastor, like I said, ours are the best around. We might be a little bit biased, but we'll help any way we can. So please know that's an open invitation at any time. And don't let fear, lack of joy, or any other obstacle come between you and the best relationship you'll ever have.
Amen.
And I can speak from personal experience. The stronger your relationship gets with God, the stronger every relationship in your life becomes. So don't hesitate, guys. Really, we're here any way we can be.
And it's not, I'm not saying this because it's just for the blessings, but the blessings are multituded. Like, it's like, it fires off. You're like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, thank you. Like, why do you do this for me? But I appreciate it. So, I also would love to invite anyone that is a prayer warrior or a pastor. You could definitely get in touch with us as well to pray for anyone or anyone that needs help. And I am going to close this in prayer. So, everybody, as long as you are not driving or working or doing something that you need to keep your eyes open for, let's not cut off any fingers or anything like that. So, I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, we thank you for all the little things in life that you bless us with every single day. Our breath. It is said that our breath says your name, Yahweh. As we breathe out, we say your name, and as we breathe in, every breath is you, Lord. We thank you for life. We thank you for every provision you give us. Lord, I pray that this would get to the people that are trying to find some joy in the chaotic life that most of us have. We give glory to you and thank you for everything, every little thing we thank you for, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. And can I just say really quick, we wish everybody a happy back to school season.
Is that real?
Right.
A happy? I mean, I guess it is happy. I mean, it's good that they're going back to school, but it's also like, oh, all these things we got to do now.
And yeah, definitely.
I don't want to get up. I'm tired.
We pray that the Lord's patience is with all of us as we get everybody back up in the morning, that no one misses the school bus. We pray that your pocketbook is plentiful as the Scholastic Book Fair and school pictures and everything comes across our lap in these first few weeks of school. And on a serious note, we certainly pray that all children are safe going into their school year, that God keeps his hand covering our children. School has Amen. Become somewhere that yes, isn't Lord. Always so safe. So we are praying for a blessed school year for everybody. We are praying for all of our sanity, including our own, my goodness. And we wish everybody the best first week back.
Thank you for spending this time with us. As you step into whatever today holds, may you be reminded that God's grace is sufficient, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. You're not alone in this journey. Until next time, be gentle with yourself and rest in his peace. And may God bless you.